thoughts. And a person should, in Ramzan, control his permissible thoughts also. Bring them into the zikr of Allah all the time, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And if a person gets tired making zikr with his tongue, then just lie down and just think about Allah, your thoughts. Hazrat Maulana Qamar Uz-Zamaa Sahab, Damat Barakatum, said such a wonderful point. He said when a person becomes old, now he can't make ibadat as he was doing when he was young. Now his health fails him, his wuzu doesn't stay, he can't stand and make namaz, he has to sit. Many things now is handicapped. So he says now let him make the ibadat of niyat. Whatever niyat you make, and niyatul mu'min khayru min amalihi. And niyat is also what we can term a thought, a good thought. So your niyats that you make, and you have the you have made not only the thought, but that you want to do that, but you can't do, you are old. Also our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has said so beautifully, when a person works for Allah Ta'ala, over and above his basic duty, his faras, he makes nafil, tahajjud, he keeps nafil, rozas, ishraq, all nafil, tilawat. But now when he's old, he cannot do it anymore, because of his old age. So our Shaykh says that big government departments, big businesses, learned from Allah Ta'ala to give pension. Allah is the first one who gave pension. That now when you are old and you can't do that ibadah, Allah commands the malaika, write the same sawab for them. In other words, Allah is giving you pension without doing the work and you're still collecting. And Allah's pension doesn't, He doesn't cut it down over years, or He makes it less, or it stops at a certain point. No, right through the pension carries on. But this only who gets pension? Who was working from before. So if we are whatever ibadat we do, and old age came, now we can't do that ibadat, now Allah gives a pension. If we weren't making ibadat, then how can we collect a pension? So niyat is a very great thing. So with this, the thought that we have, that is, when we, as we get old, make now niyat of doing good things, and without any effort. One person in the Bani Israel, when there were droughts, there was no food. So he made this niyat that, Ya Allah, if these mountains were anaj, were food, wheat, maize, I should have distributed it amongst the people and the people could eat. Allah, he just made this niyat. Allah informed the Nabi of the time to come and tell him he already got so much sawab, as though all these mountains were wheat, maize, food, and he distributed it to the poor people. But the indication whether our niyat is genuine or not, like that everyone can make a lot of niyats and he hope to get the sawab, but whether we are genuine, how much we can do, so much we must do. Like for example, a rich man, he gives charity, he gives 10,000, he gives 50,000, he can afford, he's a rich man, he can give. So if we make this niyat that if I also had so much, I should also give so much. So you can give one ren, are you giving one ren or not? That proves that you are sincere, that if you had more, you can give one ren, but you're not even giving one ren. And really today, who can't give one ren? Who can't give 5 ren, 10 ren? So if you were sincere, yesterday we read about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with regard to him, when he passed away, he had a neighbor who was a blacksmith, who used to work with iron things, etc., welding and making utensils, all a welder. So when he passed away, Allah gave him a very high stages. Somebody saw him in a dream and said, Allah has given me so much, so much. As we read last night also. But he said, my neighbor, that blacksmith, Allah has even given him more than me. When they found out from the neighbor's wife that what was your husband's amal, that Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to do 6 months teach deen, 6 months he should go in jihad. He was such a great person, Allahu Akbar. What qualities he had. What great position Allah gave him. And this neighbor, just a blacksmith, ordinary blacksmith, but Allah gave him even more. So they asked his wife, what was your husband's amal that he surpassed a great buzurg and a great alim like Abdullah ibn Mubarak? She said he used to say, commonly he used to say, that Abdullah ibn Mubarak was a very loved person by everyone. People should give him hadaya, presents, so he didn't have to earn money. People used to look after all his needs, and he loved, as we read, that he had always made dua, that I want to live like a rich man, die as a poor man. And he had, Allah gave him so much. And the one of the best income a person can have today is hadiya, the most purest and the most mubarak form of income is hadiya in our days today. There are five types of income. For hadiya in our times is the best. So he used to get hadiya so pure, and he lived a life, and he made free, he was free to make ibadat. So my husband should say that if I also had an income like that, I also would have made tahajjud, and I should have done deen's khidmat. But I have to work hard for my rosy. From morning to night, I have to work so hard for my rosy. So on his niyat, Allah gave him a position higher than Abdullah ibn Mubarak also, which everyone can acquire. Many people, we say that we haven't got free time, we can't do this. If our niyat, and the proof that our niyat is correct, how much we can do, so much we do. So niyat is a great thing. So anyway, these thoughts of a person which we have in Ramzan, make them good. The even permissible thoughts, try and avoid them. About all any personal things also, then Allah will save us from haram also. This few days, stay away from permissible thoughts also, and then haram thoughts won't even come to us. We will get saved from them. And one other type of thought that we didn't discuss yesterday, very briefly we'll do it, is suspicion. That is also very common between husband and wife, especially between boss and worker, and many people with regard to the neighbors, family people. This one is making jadu on me, that one is making jadu. This suspicion doesn't destroy that person we are having doubts upon. Just like jealousy, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Pratap Gari Rahmatullah Ali said such a beautiful poem with regard to jealousy. Kyu jalte ho hasad ki aag mein? Why are you yourself burning in the fire of jealousy? That person who you're jealous about, he got a new BM today. Tomorrow he's gone for a holiday. Next day he's doing something else. He's enjoying. You're by your jealousy, it's not harming him in any way. You burning in the fire of jealousy. He is enjoying and you burning. How stupid to be burning in the fire of jealousy. Kyo jal rahe ho hasad ki aag mein? Kyo kaffe afsos mal rahe ho? You're rubbing, oh, why these people they enjoying? Why are they getting this? Why are you jealous about other people? Tum ho naraz khuda ke faisle par. You are unhappy with Allah's decision. Allah gave them what they have got. And now you are unhappy with arguing with Allah. You're finding fault with Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave it to them. And the last line. Kyu jal rahe ho hasad ke aag mein, kyu kaffe afsos tum ho naraz ke, kyu chal rahe ho jahannam ke taraf? Why you, by making hasad, you are going towards jahannam. That person is enjoying. So don't do that. Don't be so stupid. In the same way with suspicion, that we are suspicious some people wahim. And this is such a, like ulama have written, there is no ilaj, wahim ki bimari ka koi ilaj nahi hai. There isn't a cure for this wahim. And some people wahim, the suspicion that they not park. How many people, our neighbors, they were the housewife, will wash her hands 15 times. People will make wuzu 2, 3, 5, 10 times. They just don't get finished with istinja in the toilet. They think we are still napak all. This is wahim. It's a terrible disease. So the suspicion, and that people, family people, those are making jadu on us. Those people don't know anything, and we are, how many places give a present, knife present. because they want to cut our muhabbat. That's why they gave knife present. Anything, they just got doubts on the people, on the neighbors they are suspicious, on family, good, close, on the mother-in-law, on the daughter-in-law. Some people, even on their own mother, they got doubts. And those poor people in their way, they're making Allah's ibadat. They got no idea, they got nothing to do with all this. And we have got all, and with suspicion, according to the doctors, they are one of the causes of blood circulation being weak, is when a person overthinks. He uses his mind too much. All the time thinking, these people are doing that, those people are plotting against us, those people are doing that. And with poor blood circulation, your body suffers then. When there's poor blood, your hands, your feet, your legs, these things suffer when you have this all the time. So you don't, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakat, Allahu Akbar, what a Shaykh Allah Ta'ala has given us. He say, aram se raho. You don't have to make so much ibadat also. Haram se bacho. Haram se bacho, aram se raho. So much, and you don't have to overwork your mind also on all things. And overworking your mind on wrong things, unnecessarily. So suspicion, how many husbands on their wives, wives on their husband, where there is cause for it, then follow it up. If you've got genuine cause that my wife is cheating on me, the husband is cheating, if you've got genuine cause for it, then you follow it up. But just suspicion is haram. And how beautifully the treatment has been done in Sharia. One hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Az-zannu bil mu'min khayra." That with every mu'min have good thoughts. Don't have any doubts on any mu'min or anything. Another hadith says, doubt every person. It seems the two hadith are totally opposed to one another. But to give you an example of how both hadiths apply and correctly. Like for example, you go to a supermarket, you got bags in your hand. They got a parcel counter. When put your bags there, because in your packets, in your bags, you can put anything. Now you're just walking around. Now don't police that person. The cause of the harm that could be, you blocked it, finished, preempted it. Now after that, don't have suspicion. You got your workers, they're coming to work, they can steal from you. So if many businesses got this, they got a room. First they go, they put all their jackets and all their things in a locker there. And then all the packets, everything. Now whole day they are free to work in the shop, in the business, whatever business. Now don't police. When they are leaving again, check up on them again. So the one side that you have doubt on a person, you sorted that out. After that, think good about the person. So in this way, you live a free life. And a person who has got doubt, suspicion, all this, he is destroying himself. Forget the other person, anything. You haven't got a happy moment in your life. Your sleep at night, you make it yourself haram on you. Many people are complaining of insomnia. You're overworking your mind. Just shut off your mind as much as you can. The minute you said, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, now I'm dead, finished. My mind also is finished. And see how quick sleep comes then. But when you think all the time, whatever you think of, you're a student, you think of your sabaks. You're a ustad, how to explain my students. You're a khatib, your bayans. Whole night you're making bayan there. That's what I'm going to tell the people. And after you make bayan, again another bayan. I should have said that. Our Shaykh, Jazahum Allah khair, Allah Akbar. Hadrat says that one time he says, I've reached that stage of my life now. And for your benefit, I'm telling you that when we make bayan, we think we'll say these things. Many of us even prepare the bayan. Hadrat says, I never prepare bayan. Allahu Akbar. Somebody asked Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's wife that Hadrat must be making so much mutala. What bayans he makes. And Allah, what ma'arif. And what deep, deep points. So his wife said, I never saw him making mutala. Only two kitabs I saw him reading. Quran Sharif and Munajat-e-Maqbool. Besides that, I never saw him reading any other kitab. Allah puts all the subject matter. So our Shaykh also say, I don't prepare. But you think sometimes I must say this, and it gets left out. So he says, now I'm never sorry about it. Because Allah didn't mean it, why must I feel sorry? And when you feel sorry, you think about it. So don't think about it. Finish, just cut off, especially when you're going to sleep. So this overworking of the mind is physically, health-wise, also very harmful for a person. When a person thinks so much, so and the suspicion is very, very bad. It harms, it destroys a family. The wife gets shattered. The husband gets shattered where you have doubts. Workers, how many people? Allahu Akbar. One family presently that we know, the amount of suspicion they have, they've destroyed their total finances because of their suspicion. So this also, and one great thing for Islam is dua also. And Allah has given dua. And Allah joined the dua ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. It's what near the ayats of Ramadan, rozas, etc. So dua is another great, great weapon, a great thing Allah has given us. However, carrying on further then, the fifth thing to keep roza is about the stomach, about food. Food is to eat. Now what roza? The thing is, which ulama have written, that we should be very careful, especially in the month of Ramadan, few days, that no haram must enter our body. And not only one time, Hadraji Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting our country, and in Lanesia on a Sunday when there was a huge crowd for the majlis, Hadraji said, people say, Maulanas only know to make bayan on namaz, roza, on dini matters. So he said, come, let us make bayan today on food. He said, all love food, they look forward to, they enjoy their food, so let us make bayan on food. And on the ayat, Ya Ayyuhar Rasul, Kulu Min At-Tayyibat Wa'amalu Saliha. And addressed to the Rasuls. Rasul's position is higher than the Anbiya. Rasul is a sahib kitab. He is a Nabi, he is a Rasul, and he's got a Shariat of his own. He's more higher. A Nabi was that person who informed about another Rasul's teachings. But a Rasul is a Nabi also, and he's a Nabi and a Rasul. So Allah is addressing the highest level of people. There can't be anyone more higher than the Rasuls. And Allah is commanding them, kulu min at-tayyibat. Eat of tayyibat. Halal is in the bag already. Other places Allah may spell it out. Halalan tayyiba. You must eat halal and you must eat tayyib also. Both conditions there. And then in that ayat, Allah immediately after that said, wa'amalu saliha. So the effect of eating halal tayyib, your amal will be saliha. And it's a famous saying in English, which is a correct saying, you are what you eat. Whatever, what we eat, that is what our akhlaq, our aqaid come according to that. When we're eating wrong thing, Allahu Akbar. How beautiful, somebody has said that perhaps many people have acquaintances with non-Muslims and they want them to accept Islam. Some of them have got good habits also. But Islam just doesn't make sense to them. We're trying. Or it makes sense also, but they're still not accepting. So two things you should advise them. Without direct da'wat of Islam, tell them to eat with the halal food. Show them what way they can get halal meat, etc. They must eat halal. And they must stay park. Tell them to bath whenever it's bath is necessary, to stay park. When you do these two things, your mind will open up. And the same way it is for Muslims. When we eat halal food, tayyib food, then without even a sheikh, without an ustad, see what halal and pakiza are. Pure thoughts come to you. And a person who eats dirt and filth, haram, then even he can be a hafiz a Quran, he can be an alim. But if his food is haram, then no good will come from him also. Though he can be, we can have everything, all the other things. But if your food is not halal, and your drink is not halal, then even though you're an alim and you're a hafiz, but your thoughts also won't be right. And with regard to this, you are what you eat. To understand it very simply, if there is a child that is born with that drop of sperm which was made from Zamzam water, the parents, mother, father drank Zamzam of Makkah Sharif, and from that sperm was made, and the child was born, and the child grew up also drinking Zamzam, that child will be so pure, we will call him a Makki. He has drunk Zamzam water. And a child that was born with khajur of Medina, the father, mother ate khajur, the blood was made, the sperm was made, the child ate Madina's khajur and he grew up, he will be a Madani. And that child, the parents who ate junk food, and the blood was made with the junk food, and the semen was made, and the child grew up with junk food, the child will be a junkie. If that cap fits, you have to wear it. That is what you will be. So if we eating this junk food, we are junkies. That is what one person, one student in America, half his boy, bright boy, not a dull or anything, but just couldn't become Hafiz. Learns his sabak, forgets it, makes one supara, forgets it, and we have this problem with some students. They learn the sabak with difficulty, but the door, forget again. One holiday, and they learn four paras, six paras, finish, everything gone. They asked one alim, so he spoke to the boy, and he asked him, what food you eat? He was eating all this takeaway food. He told the parents for 2-3 months, stop this takeaway food completely. And then see what results. And they were shocked what results they got. Immediately he started learning and he remembered and everything. So this food has got a great effect on everything of us. Many simple things we can't understand in matters of deen. It doesn't make sense to us because our food is not right. Our drink is not right. So it has a direct effect on a person. A person can only get proper understanding when his food is right, his drink. Also, there is a proper saying in English, you are what you wear. And a wonderful one poster came out from the UK at one time, and where they said, warned everyone, check what you are wearing. Brand names, etc., all these things. What you wear, that also has an effect on a person. Haji Fakhruddin Saab of Durban, Haji Bhai Padia's very good friend, he said one time his grandson, the parents bought for him a police outfit, small boy, 3-4. Now you get all different outfits. The minute he wore the police outfit, he acted with haughtiness, pride, with authority. A small boy, I'll catch you, I'll shoot you. So that clothes immediately put the effect on the boy. One student of ours, I advocate always to wear this type of kurtas, and he says we went for Jamaat one year and he had both types of kurtas, and he said he noticed very clearly the minute he wore those long kurtas, and then a sense of pride, smartness, bigness comes into me, and the minute I wear this I feel humble, I'm just like a nothing. So clothes have a direct effect. I usually on food speak one incident which Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab of Raiwin had narrated to us, that the buzurgs, the pious people of the past, who for any reason, if they wanted to lessen any murid zikr, either the zikr is too much for him, it's going to his head, it's too hot for him, or pride is coming in him, I'm making so much, for whatever reason, they wanted to lessen the zikr of a person, and as far as deen, and it becomes necessary to sometimes curbs people's ibadat also. When they're going over the limit in ibadat, it has to be curbed also. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali had shown one murid his wasifa. He became new, you must reach. He did it 10 times more. It was so hot, he went and threw himself in the well. Somehow they saved him. The Hazrat reprimanded. He said, a court case, they should bring a murder charge against me. That I gave you so much wazifa, and now you became so hot and you went and throw yourself in the well, you commit suicide. He said that, why don't you, how much I told you, you must only do so much, not so more than that. So many times a murid also wants to do a lot of, but only how much he's told to do, he must keep, take permission for more. If you want to do more than that, take permission. Don't just on your own increase your wazifa. So in the past when they wanted to decrease somebody's zikr, etc., all they used to do is let him eat bazaar food. Bazaar for shops, were food from the shops. And that is that food usually where everyone's eyes fall. Buzurg still today in India, Pakistan, it's a common practice. The food which is in the platter on the dastarkhan when we are eating, it's covered. And not only to keep it warm, but that everyone's nazar doesn't fall on it. And when a person wants to save himself from nazar and from jadu, etc., very important is food he must check, that everyone's eyes don't fall. It comes in the hadith, al-aynu haqqun, The effect of the eye is 100%. There is in positive matters and negative matters also. So we have to be very careful of our food. So anyway, so I mention this always, that you must be careful of what you eat. So they were in Jamaat in Pakistan. They reached one village and there was one Sati with them. And once we also had such a friend in France, in Jamaat, all the time ibadat. But this friend of theirs crying, and so profusely used to cry, it looked like he's going to die the next minute. They worried, 24 hours, whole day, this is his condition. Crying all the time, duas all the time. So they spoke to the elders of one village where they went. They said, no problem, very easy the solution. The remedy is very easy. Take him to the shopping, to the where the shops are, and let him drink tea there in one of the shops. And if there is a shop where music also is playing, even better, let him drink tea in such a shop. So they took him for just tea after Asr to one of the shops. There was a shop with me, and Abad, all his crying finished after that. Now his heart became hard. He couldn't cry after that. So then we eating all that food. Now we wonder we can't cry. Many of us, I also want to cry like other people. I also want to have that feelings like other people. We have to check our food. Today is a common thing that the mother also is very happy and the children are also very happy. Give the child a can of Coke for afternoon, giving a packet of crisp or something. The child is happy with that lunch. And mother is also very happy. She doesn't have to do anything. But it has no value. It has negative value. One Hindu person of India, I don't know his condition now, I'm talking of some time ago, but if you listen to his cassettes, one of our India brothers gave me his cassettes, you'll think he's a Muslim talking. If he doesn't say he's a Hindu, that's the subject matter. And he says they gave cold drink to the laboratories to analyze it. He says besides poison, nothing. There is no benefit whatsoever, only harm. It's poison for the body. And many other things, very valuable things he taught. And in fact, in one of his bayans, and he usually speaks to the academics, universities, one talk was to the stock exchange people, to all people like that, politicians and that. One of his bayans, he was like, how we make bayat, he was making the people make, repeat the words. In there he said, "Main Coca-Cola nahi piunga, main TV nahi dekhunga." All this, yeah, a Hindu person. Because they knew the reality of the harm of these things. So food is a very important thing. We have to see what we eat. One boy in the time of Hazrat Mar Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, for namaz time, small boy, very small boy, and children like to play fools and play around, so people all came for namaz, shoes were outside. He separated the two shoes, made two groups. People ask, what is this, why you did that? He said, these are Jannati people, these are Jahannami people. They were shocked when they had their rice. He was eating, or his parents made sure he doesn't eat any of the junk. Allah had put it in his heart. And when they checked who those people were, they were such people. These things can be seen. But food is very, very important. So we have to be very careful of what we eat. And today, see, in about 1978, we were in Jamaat for about 4 months in Turkey. At that time, 1978, all the abattoirs of Turkey were controlled by Jewish people. Then came a later stage, even the whole military was controlled by the Jews. Now, alhamdulillah, very good change is coming in Turkey. But at that time, and what is their object? We read in Fazail-e-Amal that when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf became the king, there were a group of people, 40 pious people. Whenever an oppressive ruler was put over them, one dua and he gets removed. But when he came, the first thing he did, he made their dawah. And after that he said, now I'm not afraid of their dua anymore. Their duas won't be accepted because I've given them haram to eat. And look, if we have to think, now Ramzan Sharif coming to an end, Quran Sharifs are going to get khatam throughout the world. In Makkah Sharif, Quran Sharif khatam, Medina Sharif, and 2 million, 3 million. This year's crowds, they say, is just so big the crowd. Maybe even 4 million, especially when Quran khatam night. And what duas are made. The imams, what beautiful duas they make. And the armies of all that 3-4 million people, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, throughout the world, But the ummah's condition is not moving one bit. We are just staying where we are. All these du'as, one du'a is such a person feels, now finish, ummah's work is done. How the people cried, and what du'as were made for the ummah. Why? Our food. So, and it's not a small thing, it's very, very important. Many of us, we pass away when, remarks, when somebody talks about halal, haram. These people, they just in halal, haram. What is happening to halal, haram? Your iman is dependent on your halal, haram. Your qabr is dependent on your halal, haram. Your maut is dependent on your halal, haram. It's a very, very important subject, and a person must be very careful of what he consumes. Today, it is so easy. You got your credit card, you got your check, you got the trolley in the supermarket, all the aisles are there, and all the goods are packed. Whatever you want to, you just put it into your trolley. Go there, one credit card, and soon the time will come when you'll have a chip on you, and they won't even itemize each item individually. Just as you walk through, your whole basket will be recorded, and it will come off your account. You'll just walk through. All this so easy, but for a Muslim, we have to see what we eat. So this, the subject is not fresh in my mind, but at one time, they used to previously also use big elements and things in the food, etc. They used to write it, Muslims should take objection, Muslims shouldn't eat. So then they used other terms, scientific terms. Muslims caught up with that also. Now it's E numbers. They just use E numbers. And we don't know what that E number. And there are so many E numbers. And alhamdulillah, Allah reward those people who have worked. And those E numbers which are not permissible, they have made a list of them, they are available. And we should check that what we are buying, whether those E numbers are on there or not. So all this food is very, very important. Hakim Yusuf Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, who was in Heckwood, related this to me. There was a school teacher, non-Muslim, white woman in the UK. And very years of experience of teaching she had. And whenever we have a lot of experience, then the thing is on our fingertips. And then together with that, we do some other things also, because we so well used to it, we can manage. Like many a driver, which he shouldn't do, using the cell phone also, and he's under control. There was one article that certain drivers, taxi drivers, they got the newspaper open, and the steering with their thighs, they control the steering. And they're reading newspaper, and they are driving. So when you got the thing under control, which is wrong, which you shouldn't do, you should concentrate on what you are doing, or what you are driving, concentrate on that. So she had a lot of experience, so she also thought of doing something else. What came to her mind, that what my students are eating, and that what relationship has that got with the academic performance, and their behavior also. So she wrote all the students' names down, and all the academic results which they get in the test, etc. And also their behavior, who is naughty, who is rowdy, who is stubborn, all that also she wrote down. And she called each student and asked them what food they were eating. Normally their food, breakfast, supper, lunch. And she saw very clear the relationship. Those that were not getting vitamins in their body. Only food that's filling your stomach, but it's not giving you any vitamins. The academic results were bad, behavior was bad. Then after she saw this, on her own, she started supplementing them with vitamins to make up for the vitamins they're not having in their body. And she saw very clearly the improvement. The academic results started improving, and also their behavior started improving. So we have to see what we are giving our children. It's not the children who are the problem, the food we are giving them. What food are we putting on the table? Whether the food is halal, whether it's haram, whether it's doubtful. Today, anywhere, anything. One time in the Saudi Airlines, we were returning from, most probably it was Umrah, and it was a host, a man, we had ordered vegetarian, and he became very cross. He says, we are Saudi Airlines, you doubt our meat, our food is halal. What doubt? Like in Makkah, Medina, people say, how can you talk of haram? There is no question. So he was very cross, so I didn't speak to him. After he finished serve everything, then I called him afterwards. I told him that most of your meat at that time, from where does it come? He told me himself, Brazil. I told him, do you know the slaughterer is a Qadiani? who calls himself a Muslim, so they give a certificate halal. But he got a shock that all what is being slaughtered is by Qadiani. How can that food be halal? So all this here, we have to see the source of all this. How are the animals being? And it's not only halal. Halal is the most important. But together with halal, it must be tayyiba, tayyib. And what is tayyib? In which there is no doubt in the whether it's halal or haram. And also tayyib, healthy, wholesome food. Not only food that fills your stomach, but food that is healthy and wholesome. That type of food a person should eat. Today, for example, our iftari, here we have on khajurs. One friend of mine, he was also a sugar patient and also overweight. He was going to a dietitian, a white woman, elderly woman. She told him that you don't have to come to me, you're a Muslim. And your religion teaches you the best diet. Fasting, for example. And she says that what your prophet, your Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has taught you, that you open your fast on fruit. Khajur is fruit, dates, and on the king of fruit, or dates, which is the best fruit. She says there couldn't be a better prescription, better thing to open your fast on. And khajur again, when you mix it with water in your mouth, then it gives the greatest effect. And in khajur, the best khajur, ajwa, all the beautiful the khajurs of Medina, the minute a person has got taste of khajur of Medina, it can be those big Algerian khajurs, southwest khajurs, they have no taste compared to khajur of Medina. And in the khajur of Medina, ajwa, etc., which is the best khajur, then other khajurs don't have taste. So she said that when you keep roza, you have done the greatest favor to your body. You gave all the organs of your body, most of them, you gave them rest. And this is very necessary. We also say, I need 3 weeks rest in a year. I have to go for a holiday. I'm very tired now, exhausted. And like many of us, Ramzan, I did too much. Now I must go rest. And when we come back from the holiday, you need another rest. The traveling that we do and the exhaustion. In fact, one of the advices which the health council gives heart patients, that a heart patient must never go for holiday, because holiday is too taxing to book your place, your flight, and then you get a cancellation and all that. It is too taxing. You just sit at home comfortably, especially for a heart patient. You're giving your organs a rest. When you fast, she say you do a great benefit to your body. Fasting, staying hungry is very good for the health. Our roza is not only staying hungry, it's a roza, it's an ibadah. But together we get that benefit. That's not our niyat, it shouldn't be our niyat for health's sake. But that's a byproduct which comes. And together with that she says, but when you open your fast on fried things, like how many of us, our rozas don't open without samosa and without bhajia, the deep fried things. She said, how much benefit you gave to your body 12, 16 hours. In the 2 minutes, you may cause more harm to your body. But if you open on khajur, you maintain all that. After that, you have your supper, go and have your savouries at that time. At night, you have your savour. But when you open your roza, khajur and water on these healthy things. Or like in India, which is common, in Pakistan, fruit. They make that with guava, bananas, and they make that kya bolte usko? Yeah, chaat. Fruit chaat. That is also very fruit it is. But more better than that is khajur. And you only have so much at that time. And let your body digest that benefit of the khajur and water. Make your maghrib finish, do your awabim. Then go and have your supper. And then also if we stay away from all this fried and unhealthy things. Deep fried things, any doctor will also tell you how unhealthy it is. So, these things are very unhealthy for a person, and we have to see what we eat. Our arguments of deen, if you sit and discuss with somebody, Allahu Akbar. Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali told somebody came and wanted to have a debate with him on a certain matter. So he says, I don't debate with anyone. So he says, what is a debate? It's not a matter of who is on the right and who is on the wrong, but a debate for us. What is it? Who can present his arguments more strongly and more convincingly? Many times the person who is on the right, but he can't present his argument so convincingly. So if the two of us debate, whoever can present his arguments more convincingly and more strongly is going to win the debate, even if he's on the wrong. Anyway, even if he's on the right and he wins. And now we came to one point. Tomorrow another person comes and he wants to debate again now with that person. Now you debate again, now you have another third idea again. So you'll never come to an end. The thing is, you have to turn to Allah that He guides you. The same Sayyid Fakhruddin Saab told me once that he was traveling with somebody and explaining about Islam, deen, everything. And after all that discussion, still he did not accept Islam. He said, Allah put it in my heart. I told him, you pray to God and tell God which is the true religion. You put that in my heart. And if a person's food is reasonably right and his drink, Allah will put in that person's heart. And one of the efforts, today it's a concerted, well-calculated effort. One friend of ours, Maulana Ismail Khan, who was in early birds working in Standerton, he told me himself that he was a supervisor there to see for halal food. Once the birds, the chickens, they were slaughtered, finished, and made pieces. And then they inject them, and then they blow up. Today all one breast, some people like breast, some people like thighs. Chickens I'm speaking about. Some people like the breast of the chicken, somebody likes the thighs, and all that when they are blown up like that, so big. So it sells also more, and everyone just go, when we see it sit on the dastarkhan, you just see that big pieces everyone is putting in his plate. Everyone, whereas the best meat is that which is attached to the bone, close to the bone, that is the best meat to eat. But anyway, everyone likes those big pieces of meat. So he told them, why you people inject it when you know with this injection of yours, it causes high blood pressure and it causes sugar. They say, we're not worried, let it cause what it wants to. We want money. And when it's blown up like that, weight is more, volume is more, size it's gone bigger, the people buy it, and we want money. A businessman is only worried of money, he's not worried of anything. So these things, we can go into a lot of detail of this. When we were still young, we were studying in Mia's farm, Ratifal Islamic Institute. And Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, the Ahmed Barakatum president of Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal, he just came that time also, he was our ustad also. And on the sideline, he used to slaughter chickens and sell. So he asked us, Friday we were off, it was holiday, that if you people go and slaughter for me, and we were just ustad's khidmat also. And at the same time, we get an outing also. We get permission to go to Joburg, to go to town. It was hostel boys for us. It was a big thing to go to town. So we were just too happy about this. So we went to the farm very near the hostel is. And once, the second or third time, we saw one man from the old Fitas, Joburg, the old Fitas. He used to come slaughter also. When we went there, we saw that he's African boy was not a Muslim. He was slaughtering. So we asked him, what is this now? So he said that, I get tired, how much must I slaughter? So I let him slaughter. Now you think, a person in your neighborhood, Musa bhai, Isub bhai, Yusuf bhai, Ahmad bhai, who you have full trust, but yeah, this is happening. And we are quite alright, it is halal that he's slaughtering and he's bringing. But how much is that? Today it's really difficult that everyone is not going to go and slaughter. And the other thing is, some people put the argument, even if we eat good meat, halal, 100%, but don't eat meat too much. Meat is not good for the body. Too much excessive is not right. People or buzurg should eat once a week, once a month, twice a month. But today there isn't a day. The children, if there isn't meat, is no food in the house. And they make a big noise. And what kind of food also? Not even seru tarkari, little soup, there is barkat in it. Now they want dry meat. They want roast only. And they only fried and roast. That is all what everyone wants. So anyway, even if we eat good, halal, proper meat, Then also not too much of it. It must be also more. We should be eating vegetables and dals. But so the people say that chicken, if you say we must have this free-range chicken, this farm chickens, they will never be able to meet the demand. The demand is so great. The supply can never be. The thing is, we should not be eating. And there is a reason why they have brought us onto this meat all the time. They are making us sick on the other side. One of the biggest business enterprises in the world is the World Health Organization. So, and then they have to supply their medicine. Once we were sitting with a hakim, so I said, it's bad now, you sit with a hakim and you are eating, he'll stop you from everything. He says, no, I'll tell you to eat more, so you get sick and you can come more to me. Yeah? So that is what a hakim, a doctor, he wants you to get sick. So their idea is to make you sick, and then only their medicine and all their things can move. Otherwise, their medicines and things won't move. So if we eat more vegetables, more dals, and then now and occasionally meat, then it has a better effect on the body also. And in meat also, fish is very important also. So anyway, to eat, we have to be careful. One time, we were sitting and talking with some people in one town, and in that they had explained, one person said he's got a business there, and he gave his car for service. So we went and collected it, but it wasn't ready still. They asked him to wait another half an hour or so. He'll have to wait. So he was standing outside the garage and waiting, and next to the garage was a Kentucky or KFC or McDonald's, whatever it was. And the African woman was working there. She was the customer in the shop. So he knew her. And he saw her coming from across the road from OK Bazaars with packets in her hands. So he asked her, what you carrying? So she said, I can buy chicken. Our chicken got finished. He said, but your chicken are halal chicken, and you went and buy those chicken. She said, it makes no difference. The halal board is there. So whatever chickens I give doesn't make any difference. Now, as long as the halal board is there. So when those people have no idea, the same person said his son or daughter was studying in Lodium in Pretoria, and some tech college or whatever it was, and they came and visit the child, and they decided to eat out, to go and eat from, they buy from a takeaway, and we'll go and eat out. They went there, they ordered the food, and usually it takes them a little while to prepare it, heat it and prepare it. So just for conversation's sake, they asked that man who was working there, this halal, what does it mean? So he told, it means piri piri. And what does halal mean? You just put some masala in there. That is halal now. So if that is his concept of halal, what halal are we doing? One person, they were traveling through the OFS. At that time, just when Muslims were still very few, when in the old government, Indians were not allowed in the OFS. So there were hardly any Muslims. So just after that, they passed and they one shop right in the farm. Like, they went there and they saw halal board there also. So they asked that white man, Afrikaner man, what is this halal? He said, I don't know what it is. But I saw since I put it up, somebody told me, put it up, your business will increase. Like a ta'weez. Because now everyone sees halal, they just buy. So it's working like a ta'weez now. I see my business turnover is gone up now, since this board is here. And one time, and many places, one time it was of Azadville. Azadville girls, whoever came and proposed to marry to them, one of their conditions, weekend, our kitchen is closed. We don't cook weekends. We have to buy from outside. So when a woman go on strike, you know, negotiations help. You can't negotiate, you can't come to compromise, nothing. So anyway, one family like this in Lanesia, the woman said, we on strike tonight. Saturday night it was, we not cooking. Your man must go and buy for us. They went, they bought some things for them. So all the whole family, big family, was sitting together and eating. One child sitting next to her mother told, Mummy, what is this here? All hair, ducha, whole, what you call it in English, bundle of hair. So the mother just shut her up, silenced her, otherwise nobody will eat just now. After a little while, another bigger one came on. And then nobody could eat after that. At home we complain sometimes if the wife's one hair is, the whole night you sleep in her hair and you tell her that, oh, I'm like in Jannat and all that. But one hair by mistake come in the food, now you got a big problem. And those people who don't have got nothing to know, nothing about istinja and Whatever the laws can be made, they must wear plastic gloves and gloves and wash their hands. But in reality, one time it was in the newspapers. South African Airways, and South African Airways service is one of the better ones in the world, and the catering is also very good, and feces, a stool was found in the food. People were getting diarrhea. I asked one travel agent, so he told me it's because of altitude. It changes into feces. We are like the poor Malisaf, what he knows. We swallow everything that it changes as with the altitude. So this in the food it comes. Eh? So how careful don't we have to be? When we, sometimes you can't help it, you're struggling and you have to eat, and just how much is necessary, but this is a habit of eating, and our lifestyle has become this. And one of the, in the Jewish protocols, one of the things that they vowed, that their culture, and their culture amongst other things, is Coke in the left hand, and your bun or your sandwich or a burger in your other hand. That is their culture. And they said it can be the remotest part of the world, Coca-Cola board will be there. This is like, for example, Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say that the minara of the masjid, you must make it very tall. So the people don't have to ask where's the masjid, and it's a sign. And in our old South Africa, any small town also you enter, as you enter, all four corners you'll see there's a church. The grounds are big, and the minara is very high. So that was a way to say this is Christian land. That is the way to say. So the minara is a way to say this is Muslim land which Allah is making. In England, mashallah, what masjids and at what spots those masjids are. And many other places of the world, the masajid. So this is a way to say there is Muslim land. The same way with our food, by that Coke and that, and our dressing, their brand names, etc., we advertising for them. We saying this is their way of life. Oh, as far as dressing is concerned, at one time I used to go and make Juma namaz in Krugersdorp. And so there weren't people after the apartheid, no people, were only business people. So one time I spoke on dressing. So one Haji Sahib, Rashid Bhai Munawwar's brother, he came to me and he told me, next week repeat your talk again. So I asked why. So he told me one person on a Saturday for Zohar, very few people came for Zohar namaz, and no imam also, because there aren't enough people, so they haven't got a fixed imam. So he, without wearing, he had a t-shirt on, short sleeve, and a naked woman's picture on the back. And he went forward to make imamat like that. Not even wearing the jubba. So when our consciousness go, everything, we don't even realize what levels we are through. And then, when this food is not right, etc., what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. So you don't think, you can't think. And then to explain to such a person, you start eating with spoon and fork and everything, what's wrong with it? Where is it in the hadith that you can't eat with spoon? You come with all stupid arguments then. So it's very, very important. So we should see that our food is correct, our drink is correct, our dressing is correct, and in Ramzan take more precaution. Then from all these things out of Ramzan, Allah will protect. You look after Ramzan, Allah will look after your rest of your year and the rest of your life. This few days, our food, let us be more particular. And also the etiquette of eating, that also have to be discussed. If Allah wishes, we'll discuss that also. May Allah guide us and give us the right way of life in everything. These are not small things. The Quran Sharif say, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا. You think it's a small matter. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But by Allah, it's a very big matter. It's not a small matter. So these are very important things we should try. And we should have come here, not just to make 10 days etiquette, but to bring a change. If we have come with a niyat of change, we will change our eating habits, with the way of eating, etc. Everything we will change. But if we just came to make etiquette, we'll make etiquette and we'll go back, and that will be the same. May Allah give us tawfiq.